This is more than a new year. This is a new opportunity. Not just a page on the calendar, but a fresh invitation. To look back with gratitude and to look ahead with faith. To remember who God has been and to trust who He will continue to be. He was faithful in the storm. He was present in the silence. He was working in the waiting. He was healing in the brokenness. And now, a new chapter unfolds with new days and new mercies ahead. But we don't go forward alone. We go with hope and we go with Jesus, the one who makes all things new. God who held us yesterday holds tomorrow in His hands. So together, let's walk into the new year in faith and with God.
Well, amen. Would you stand with us? Welcome to church. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary here. Welcome if you're joining us online maybe for the first time. We are going to have an awesome morning with the Lord, but before we get into anything else, we want to go over our vision statement as a church and as individuals. So this is for everybody here, whether you're new, whether you've come 1,000 times, we want to be reminded or learn about what is our vision here. So would you read it with me? We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. And what that means is all of us have next steps to take. Maybe your next step is, I don't even know who Jesus is and I want to get to know Him. Maybe your next step is, I've been following Christ my whole life, but I want to get closer and closer to God. Either way, we're all in this together and we all need God's grace, and we come together to worship Him because He gives us His grace and His truth and peace and hope and all of those wonderful things. So let's pray, and then we're going to worship Him because He is worthy of all of our praise. So Lord, as we come before You this morning, as always, Lord, we just want You to come into our hearts, Lord, inhabit our praise in such a way that we leave this place different. We want to encounter You, the living God, the one who made a way for us to be made right with You, to have new life, and to have hope. So Lord, we thank You so much for all that You've done, and we praise You for everything that You're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Let's sing.
You give life, You are love, You bring life the darkness, You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord.
Sing, You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light the darkness. You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken.
the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, Holy.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Caught up in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry, I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry
when I come with my agenda, I'm sorry. I forgot you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you, and nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. Caught up in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. I'm not here for blessing. You don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you, and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do.
Except for a heart singing, hallelujah. got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion.
Perfecter of our faith. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Lord, I just pray for anyone that is heavy-hearted today for any different reason. Lord, thank you that you said, I'm close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. God, we just want to worship you. We want to praise you in spirit and in truth. God, thank you that we can come here into your house. And this is your house. And you said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God, thank you that we can be a part of this eternal family that comes together to worship you and to spread your good news all over the world. We love you, Lord. Thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers. Amen. Would you please be seated as we go into our prayer time today? We will be going over a few prayer points that we want to encourage you to pray. And the first one is a prayer of release. In Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead." Let us pray. Lord, I bring you the pain, the regret, and the disappointment I carried through this past year. Help me to release what is behind me and trust you as I move forward into what is ahead. Let us pray. Next is a prayer of rest. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Jesus, I come to you tired and worn down by the weight of this year. Teach me to rest in you and remember I'm not walking alone because I'm yoked with you. Let us pray. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, give us your strength as we wait upon you today. Next is a prayer of grace. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. God, thank you that my past does not define me and that your grace is greater than my failures. Help me to reject condemnation and leave each day knowing I'm fully forgiven and deeply loved. Let us pray. Maybe the Lord would bring a sin to your mind that you need to confess to him. This would be a time to confess it. Next is a prayer of hope. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Let us pray. Lord, even when I cannot see the way forward, I choose to trust that you're doing something new in my life. As I step into the future, help me follow you with faith, believing you will make a way. Let us pray. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Check out our CCC News.
Hey, CCC family. I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas and welcome back. If this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back in, you'll be given a mug with some awesome secrets inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you because you are here on purpose because God has a purpose for you. Also, I'm the high school pastor here. My name's Pastor Owen. It's good to see you. But let's get into the announcements. So coming up, starting in January, on January 11th, our church will be going through a new sermon series called The Four Keys to Mental Health. Our very own Pastor Steve wrote this book. And so through this series, he will be reading and teaching and going through it, as well as we'll also be having process groups going through the book as well. The most common misbelief on mental health is that you have to have it in order for this to be important to you, right? Well, like Pastor Steve says, if you have a brain, you have mental health. Just like our body has physical health, our brain has mental health. So this sermon series is for anyone and everyone. So please do not miss it. I hope to see you guys there. It's gonna be so good. Also coming up, Wednesday nights will be back starting January 7th. We have been on a little bit of a break here, but we are so excited. Our youth, our kids, our adult groups starting back up January 7th. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be so good. Also, if you are looking for a new area to serve, our kids and youth ministries could always use more help. So we will have a table with signups out in the gathering grounds. If that interests you, please go and talk to the pastor that's at that table. Also, we have a few activities starting up in January. We have our Restored Women's talking about Jesus and women. And we'll also be having a new support group called Living with Suicide Loss. This is an 18 plus group that wants to just come behind you and support you. If you know anybody that's gone through the unique and profound grief that is through suicide. So if it's a family, a friend, a sibling, someone you know, this is starting up on January 12th at 6:30 here at the church. If you know somebody, please spread the word. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday.
Hey, would you stand and greet those around you and welcome them to church? Welcome your spiritual family to church today. So we are super excited about our upcoming message series on the four keys to mental health. And starting next week, Tammy and I are actually going to gift each family a book. So that'll be our gift to you as a church. So each family gets one book. So that's going to start next week as we'll be giving out those books, one per family. So we're excited about that. And what a year, huh? I want you to think for a moment about 2025. What kind of year was it for you? Was it a prosperous year? Was it something that you'll look back upon with fondness and you're like, I'll never forget 2025. It was such an amazing year. Or maybe it was a difficult year. And to be truthful and honest, you're like, I wouldn't mind forgetting this year. Maybe a close relationship of yours came to an end. Maybe you were diagnosed with an illness, or someone you love was diagnosed with an illness. Maybe you lost your job in 2025. You know, it's been a difficult year as a country. You think about the ongoing violence. You think about the mental health crisis in our nation, the natural disasters. And whatever your 2025 was like, today my goal is that by the end of this message, you would be able to let go of the pain of 2025 and move into 2026 with hope. You say, well, Steve, why should I have hope as I am walking into 2026? Here's why. Because Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now say, come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. Let's do life together. The reason you can have hope walking into 2026, no matter what you're walking into, is because you're not walking in it alone. You are yoked with Jesus. And Jesus is offering relationship, not religion. He's saying, come to me. Let's develop a closer walk with the Lord. And that's something I'd like you to think about today. Is your relationship with the Lord closer today than it was a year ago? And what are you going to do this year to be closer to the Lord a year from now? See, if you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope you get this. That you as a believer, if you are a genuine believer of the Lord, you can walk into whatever you're facing in 2026 because you're yoked with Christ. You need to answer that call that he's giving to you to be yoked to him and to walk with him and to be with him. So today we're going to look at a text in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is actually one of the major prophets. The other major prophets are Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And Isaiah was sent actually to kind of call Israel to repent. So his message was, repent or you're going to face judgment. You're on the wrong path. You're going down the wrong path. Do a U-turn. That was his message. Now he lived in the 8th century B.C., he was married, and the book talks about two of his sons. And get this, he prophesied, this is Isaiah, for more than 40 years. And what's interesting is that from the outside looking in, Isaiah had very little outward fruit, okay? But he was faithful. He was faithful to what God asked him to do. And we're going to specifically be looking at chapter 43 in Isaiah. But before we do, I want you to think about how Isaiah 42 ends. Basically, it ends with God talking about his sadness over the spiritual condition of Israel. So think about it. Chapter 42 ends with God talking about his sadness for the spiritual condition of his people. Now, could you imagine if God was sad about my spiritual condition or our spiritual condition? He looks at our spiritual condition and that brings him sadness. Could you imagine that? So that's 42. Now we go into 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, or Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Now, notice that God is saying to them, do not be afraid. Now, in one sense, they had reasons to be afraid because, again, their spiritual condition was so bad that, in a sense, they did have a reason to be afraid. But God says to them, do not be afraid. And, you know, it's interesting. Someone has said that, I've not counted it, but someone has said that 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not. And God is saying to them, do not fear. Do you need to hear that today? Do not fear about the future. Do not fear about your health. Do not fear about the economy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear does not come from the Lord. It comes from the enemy. And God is saying to them, do not be afraid. Why? Here's why. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. Now think about it. Their condition, their spiritual condition is poor. God is sad. They've disobeyed him. Yet in spite of all of that, God says, you're mine. I've chosen you. Israel, your past doesn't define you. My grace does. I have chosen you even though you don't deserve it. That's called grace. You know, Philip Yancey in his amazing book, What's So Amazing About Grace, says, grace means there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Grace means that God already loves us as much as an infinite God possibly can love. They're in this poor condition, this poor spiritual condition, and yet God says, You're mine. I've summoned you. I want you. You know, when I think about grace, I think about my cat, Love. Now, this is my cat. Her name is Love. And I've totally become a cat person. I mean, I really have. This cat has me wrapped around her finger. And she brings me a lot of joy. And yes, she has her own couch. I did not buy that, but other members in my family did. But I just absolutely love this cat. And often when I think of her, I think about grace. Here's why. Because at one time, she was in this farmer's farm, and the farmer didn't want her, and the farmer was going to kill her. And yet one of my family members just, out of grace, drove all the way down to Iowa, got her, and then brought her to our house. So she went from being at a farm where no one wanted her to our house where she's spoiled beyond reason. I mean, my animals are treated better than I am, you know. What did she do to deserve it? Nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. It was just the grace of my family. And I often think about that, you know. That's the grace, that's a good example of the grace of God. Not that we've earned it, but God just wanted us so he could love us. He says, I've chosen you. You are mine. And that's what God is saying in this verse. Israel, you don't deserve it, but I've chosen you. You are mine. He goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now notice it does not say if you walk through the fire, if you walk through the waters. No, it says when. Again, I've talked about this a lot recently, but sometimes we can think erroneously, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Everything's going to be comfortable and happy and successful. Everything's going to go my way. And it's like, have you ever read the Bible? Because nowhere in the Bible does it promise that. But here's the promise. Yes, you'll go through a storm, but I will be with you. In Psalms 34:19, it says, the righteous person may have many troubles. The righteous person. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. When you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, when I'll be with you. Then it says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, to understand this, we need to understand a very pivotal time in Isaiah's life. And we read about it in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, now watch this, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So he has this incredible moment with God in the temple. Above him were the seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling one another, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now notice it says the train of his robe filled the temple. Now the train is the long part of a king's robe which showed power and honor. In other words, this is symbolizing that God is the king. And Isaiah had this moment with God in the temple where he just experienced God. And this caused him, it changed him the rest of his life. He would often recall that time that he had with the Lord in the temple. Verse 4, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Yes, often when we're in the presence of a holy God, what is unholy in us is brought forward. And the proper thing to do is to admit it. We can't hide it from the Lord. I mean, we think we can hide it from, we can't hide it from him. You admit it and then you repent of it. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Now, if you study the life of Isaiah, you will see him often coming back to this moment with God in the temple. It shaped his life. In fact, I talked to you about those 40 years of like very little fruit. What kept him going? Often he would think back to this moment with the Lord, that experience with God, and it would just fill him with passion for the future. And what I learned from this is that one of the things that we can do is we can find courage by recalling past special times with the Lord. In fact, would you just take a moment and just think about some special moments you've had with the Lord? I'm going to give you just 10 minutes. Just not 10 minutes. 10 seconds. Just think about what is some special times that you've had with the Lord where the Lord has just showed you he's there and that's given you strength. Would you do that for a minute? Maybe it was at a church camp. Maybe it was out in nature. Maybe it was a worship service where you just know that you experienced the Lord and it gave you courage for the future. You know, in 1956, Martin Luther King Jr., he became the face of the movement. And he started to experience all these death threats. And one night, after another death threat, his family was asleep, but he couldn't sleep. It was late at night, so he got up and he made some coffee and sat at the kitchen table. And he was overwhelmed, he was afraid, he was exhausted. And he really was wondering if he had the strength to continue. And at the kitchen table, he prayed to the Lord. He said something like, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right, but I'm afraid. I've lost my courage. I'm at the end of my powers. But then he described the moment that just changed his life. And he said he literally felt the Lord right next to him. He said the presence of God was so strong, it was like there was a person standing right next to me. And he heard the inner voice say, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. And in that moment, it was as if the fear left him. Now, the death threats didn't stop. The danger didn't disappear. But something changed. He knew he wasn't alone. And years later, he said it was that moment at the kitchen table that kept him going because he wanted to quit. But that moment at the kitchen table gave him the strength to keep going and keep doing what God had asked him to do. And I think what we can learn from this is that we need to think about those special moments we've had with the Lord. And maybe we're going through a difficult time right now. And we just think back to, you know, God said, I'm not done with you yet. Or God did this. And see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it back then, he can do it today. Amen? All right, so let's jump ahead now to verse 16. This is what the Lord says, who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they laid there, never to rise again, extinguished and snuffed out like a wick. Now, in this passage, it's talking about the Exodus. And the Exodus is when God delivered Israel from Egypt, from bondage in Egyptians. And here's what was going on. It was as if the people were living in the good old days. Like, their focus was on the Exodus back there. And, you know, when I think about living in the glory days, I think about one of my favorite movies. It's the movie called Napoleon Dynamite. How many of you have ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite and are willing to admit it in church? Okay, most of you. Now, one of my favorite characters in the movie is this guy. Anyone know who it is? Uncle Rico. Okay, yes, someone knows Uncle Rico. Now, if you've never watched the show, Uncle Rico is he lives in a van, and he lives in the past. And basically, he kind of brags about his athletic abilities, that he can throw a pigskin a quarter of a mile. And he talks about if the coach would have just put him in the game, his team would have won state, and he probably would have become an NFL player, and his whole life would have been different. But as you watch the show, what's the interesting thing about Uncle Rico is that he's always looking back. He's always looking to that glory day in high school. And, you know, I think about a group of people who get together at the local cafe, and they're just talking about their glory days back in high school. Now, could you imagine that? They're just looking backward the whole time. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you an Uncle Rico? Are you constantly looking back? Maybe you're older in years and you say, well, Steve, my best years are behind me. Well, I want to push back for a moment. Here's why. I want you to think about Caleb. He's 85 years young. After waiting 45 years for God's promise, Caleb says, now give me this hill country. The Lord promised me at the age of 85, he's still taking hills for the Lord. And what that shows me is that if God had a plan and a purpose for Caleb, even at age 85, he's got a plan and a purpose for you at 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and even 100. You can retire from a job, but you never retire from the kingdom of God. Are you living in the past? Are you like Uncle Rico? This is what the Lord says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You know, imagine a person driving the whole time they're looking at their rearview mirror. You'd say, no, 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 no. You can glance at there, but look in front of you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell. I love that word, dwell. Dwell on the past. Some of you, the Lord has helped saying, get past your past. Let it go. How long are you going to hold on to that? Paul says, brother and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead. What do you need to let go of from 2025? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to quit dwelling on? Because here's why. See, I am doing a new thing. In other words, it's kind of like God is saying to Israel, forget about the old Exodus. I'm going to do a new one. You think I did greatness back then? Imagine what I can do in the future. Are you open to God doing something new in your life? Are you open to change? Someone said the only person that likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. And I've discovered that when God is leading me into a new season, often I need to make adjustments, and adjustments are uncomfortable. What adjustments may God be asking you to make as you follow him in this new chapter? And then it says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. I love that verse. That is teaching us that when there seems to be no clear path forward, God can make a way. God can make a way when there appears to be no way. Just because you can't see the way doesn't mean he can't. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It doesn't say understand everything. We walk by faith, not sight. Trust. God, I don't see a way through this, but I believe that you can make a way in the wilderness. And then it says, and streams in the wasteland. In other words, where there's no natural relief of refreshment, God can make a way. So why can we have optimism as we move into the new year? Here's why. Not because of who we are, but because of who we're with. We're yoked with Jesus if we're a genuine follower of Christ. If we're a believer, if we've been born again, we are yoked with Jesus. Reminds me of a story. So Susan used a white cane to get around after becoming blind. Her husband, Mark, was an Air Force officer, and he would bring her to work. But one day she decided that I need to learn to get to work by myself. So for 2 weeks, Mark accompanied her on the bus to work in full military uniform. Finally, the day came when Susan said, I want to do it myself. And that's exactly what she did. She used her white cane to just kind of find her way on the bus and off the bus. And she did this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And at the end of the week, on Thursday, as she was getting off the bus driver said, I sure envy you. She's like, why? She said, it must feel so good to be taken care of and protected like you. She's like, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, every morning for the past week, a fine-looking gentleman in a military uniform has been standing across the corner watching you get on the bus. Even though she did not know her husband was there, she did not know he was looking out for her, he was there. And often we're blinded to the Lord in our life. Often he's there. We just don't see him. But today I want to just encourage you to remember, as we let go of the past and move towards the future, that you are yoked with Jesus. Now, the worship team is going to come, and we're going to just give you about 3 to 4 minutes. And here's what I want you to pray. What is God asking you to leave behind? Where I'm going to just have you be at your seat for 3 to 4 minutes and just pray. What is God asking you to leave behind as we enter into 2026? And what new thing is he inviting you to trust him for? So, Father God, we thank you that you inhabit the praise of your people. Lord, I pray that some people would have a Isaiah 6:1 experience with you, that others would have a kitchen table experience with you, where you just speak to them. God, open our ears to hear from you. What are you asking us to let go of from 2025, or maybe 2002 or 1985, whatever? God, what are you asking us to let go of? And what vision do you have for us? What is the next hill you want us to take, even if we're 85 years young? Open up our ears to hear you. So I'm going to just give us a few moments to talk to the Lord about that. I believe that the Lord spoke to some of you, and I would encourage you to maybe after this service, write it down. You know, I know the Lord spoke to me about some things, and I would just encourage you to document that in a journal or something. Lord, I'm going to let this go, and I'm going to move towards the future. So if you're willing, would you just pray this prayer with me? Let us pray. Jesus, I come to you. I release the past. I receive your rest and step into the future yoked with you. Father, we just come to you today just knowing that in you we live and move and have our being. And Lord, I just pray that God, as we leave here today, there'd be some things that would just be left at the altar. And that when the devil reminds us of those things, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, that we would just remind ourselves that if we've confessed and repented, it's under the blood and that it's at the altar. God, help us to let go of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, revenge, fear, worry. Oh God, help us to let go of those things and help us to move into the future knowing that we are yoked with you. God, give us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God, help us to not dwell on the past. Help us to learn from it, but help us to look to the future. We love you, Jesus. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. And if you have maybe had a prosperous year this year, would you consider giving an over and above gift? We came into December, $7,000 in the red. So just if the Lord would lay something on your heart, that would be amazing. But let us now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. Here are a few different ways that you can give, and thank you so much for your generosity.
All my words fall short. I got
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Father God, help us to let go of yesterday. Help us to learn from it. Help us to not dwell in the past. Help us to dwell in the present and move towards the amazing vision you have for us. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a future, plans for hope. God, remind us of Caleb. Even at age 85, we're still taking hills for the Lord. Thank you, God. Friends, we'll have friends up here to pray with you if you'd like someone to pray with you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week.
I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.